B-Pod Studios.
Now, more Touch Rich. Touch Rich. On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Willie B. Senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. He also hosts the Daily Pick 6 podcast. Will Brinson joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Brinson, hello.
What's up, guys? How you doing? Happy Tuesday or whatever day we're floating along in here.
Absolutely. Well, listen, people are getting vaccinated, and things are moving on. This is an exciting time. Let's all have a sigh of relief as this occurs.
Well, let's settle down. I mean, that's who probably had a sigh of relief? The Falcons, 28-3. When they were their squad on that lead in the Super Bowl.
What are we talking about?
Listen, I went to rehab this year. Allow me this moment. I mean, listen, I'm one of the millions that had a Rona rehab. Let's give me a little light at the end of this tunnel.
Good to talk to you, Will.
All right. Well, listen.
Let's stay diligent, people. There's no need to stay diligent.
Hopefully,
I didn't say to have everyone lick toilets. I said, let's have a. A little light at the end of the tunnel.
I'm with you. It did feel like yesterday was a little bit brighter, a little bit, there's some hope out there. You're seeing the not terrified faces of these people, these first people getting the shots.
You saw the old lady with the most terrifying looking arm of the history of the world get a shot into it, you'll see it today and you'll go, oh, that's what Fred was talking about.
Or did you see the guy who, I can't remember what state he was in, but they showed him, he's like, getting the shot, and he's like, the hairiest man alive. It's like, are you sure, like, is this before or after? Cause it's
after. You've turned into a beast, son.
There's a Wolverine shot? What's happening here?
There's all these hairy guys who are just going to be buying Microsoft products like there's no tomorrow. They're going to be putting on glasses and building computers in their garage. All right. Well, listen, Will Brinson, government conspiracies aside, I'll tell you this, is that now we're looking at the AFC and things are falling into place. A local writer here, Ben Volen.
Ben's one of my good buddies, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He, good guy. I don't know him, but I've seen him at yoga. I'll tell you this, is that he says that this Steelers team is a bit of a mirage. They were a 11-0 mirage. My father is a big-time Steeler fan, and he has his concerns with the... I'll ask a question for my father, who is... There's no way he's awake. But I will ask this. Why can they not run the ball? They have a good offensive line. Why can't they run the ball?
Yeah, the offensive line had been very good at run blocking this year. It's been great at pass protection, and it just hasn't been very good at run blocking. And I don't know if it's... So I think it's partially that. I think they've also dealt with the fact that, Randy Fittner and Ben Roethlisberger are sort of calling the plays in tandem. And it feels like Ben might be more comfortable checking at the line, which I think he has authority to do, to a short pass play. And so for a while, and, you know, it's sort of not dissimilar to what the Patriots did, you know, for a long time with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, except the difference is the Patriots receivers would actually catch the ball.
I know that Johnson kid, my Lord. Oh, boy, does he drop the ball.
So I don't think the Steelers are fraudulent or anything like that, but I do think that they had a very – I think when they were 11 – when they lost that first game, it was kind of weird. You know, it was almost like the entire football-watching country, you know, speaking of sighs of relief, breathed a sigh of relief. It's like, okay – thankfully, we don't have to like worry about this team going 16-0 and you know, have a discussion about them in history. It's like, all right, we can stop talking about Ben as the MVP. It's like, all right, Tomlin had a great run as coach of the year, but now we can focus on the guys who are dragging crap teams up like Brian Flores and Ron Rivera. It's like, phew, we were worried we have to give the Steelers all the awards, and nobody thought they were that good. They do a couple things really well. And they rushed the passer really well, or they did rush the passer really well. And Bud Dupree going out for the year is a big loss. They lost Devin Bush earlier in the year as well. That's a huge loss. Their defense was elite for a long time until Ryan Shazier got hurt. and then it immediately fell off a cliff. It was like a Jenga piece. It fell off a cliff, was terrible for several years, and then Devin Bush gets drafted. They trade it for him, and it gets immediately better. So that position, that sideline-to-sideline linebacker is huge for them. We saw the Ravens run on them in the first matchup, and you know, we've seen now the Bills attack them deep. The secondary hasn't played as well. And so they're basically dependent on getting pass rush home and Big Ben and the short passing game working, because there is no running game and they can't stretch the field vertically. So they're going to be in game. They're always going to be in games, but they, like, for a team with all the talent that they have, they kind of sneakily lack upside. And I think that's sort of what they are. It's like, all right, they're a pretty good team. They got a really good schedule. They won a bunch of one-score games, but do they really scare anybody that much? I don't know.
Yeah, we were comparing them to last year's Patriots team, who came out of the box hot and then just started petering out at the end of the year. And I don't even know if that's kind of the way you feel that they're going to fare in the postseason. We all know what happened to the Patriots last year, but it just, you get that feeling when you watch them play. Because even the Patriots wins last year, you know, every morning we would come in and you'd just be like, ain't really not a lot to brag about. I mean, they won, which is good, and you're glad that they win, and a win's a win, but like, you knew that this was kind of a house of cards. Are you feeling that way with the Steelers?
Yeah, absolutely. And like, and again, you don't want to take away from the Steelers, because they went 11-0. Like, that's hard to do. it's not like the Bengals can't win 11 games in 5 years, right? I mean, like, going 11-0 is hard to do. You don't want to dog them for it. You look at the wins. Look, they went over the Cowboys. It's like, I mean, guys, like, what are we talking? Like, this is not a team that's going to dominate in the playoffs. And my concern with Pittsburgh is that, very much like that New England team, when you look at how they manage to win games, it's sort of like with cunning and guile and fortune, right? And that's not how you're going to win a Super Bowl. You know, you're going to run out of your luck at some point. You use up 11 regular season games worth of that. You're probably not going to get, you know, 6 to 8 games down the stretch of it to secure the one seed and then get through the playoffs. So I think it's, you know, like right now, I would, you know, if you were like, if you're making me pick a head-to-head matchup for an AFC playoff game, then obviously taking the Chiefs. I'm definitely taking the Bills. I was just a gloat on you, Fred. I forgot about that from last week. That's right. The Bills took care of business against the Steelers. What was I thinking? Josh Allen looked incredible, too.
Yeah, he was incredible. He put up a ton of points. Yeah, he was the greatest.
But I mean, you do agree that, you mean, obviously you would take the Bills right now, given what we saw from them.
No.
I would personally take the Colts, and I understand some people might disagree, but I think that they're a lot healthier and peaking at the right time, especially
like
in
the Colts more than,
ball.
I like the Colts more than I like the Bills. I just think the Colts have an upset in them. And Philip Rivers is a lot like Josh Allen. I mean, Philip Rivers could come out and throw 8 picks. So,
sure.
So I don't know. I like the Bills and the Colts the same. But what I'll say about the Chiefs is, if we want to go game by game, I mean, the Chiefs have had their struggles against some, you know, not great teams.
For sure.
Yeah.
But see, the difference to me, and it's the same thing with the Titans, too. Like, the Titans have had some absolute turds, right? But yeah. I don't know that, like, let's say that all these teams are sort of operating in third gear. Do the Steelers have an extra gear? And I don't know if they do right now. And I think the Colts do. We've seen them lock down teams in the second half. We know that the Chiefs do, because Patrick Mahomes can just go nuclear. I think the Titans might, too, if you get Derrick Henry just rolling and that play action to A.J. Brown is working. I just don't know if the Steelers have that extra gear in them. And I think the Bills do, too, because Josh Allen can get scorching hot as well. I just don't know that the Steelers have that extra gear, because Ben can't throw deep, man. Like, it's gone. Or at least it's gone until next year, after a year of working on his elbow. You know, so they'll slice you up underneath, but, you know, smart, good defensive coordinators in the playoffs can adjust to that. They can't run. They don't play that great on the back end, and they're hemorrhaging star defensive players. I mean, that's just a really bad recipe for making a playoff run.
All right, so let's talk about the other side of the conference because, I mean, well, first of all, we mentioned this yesterday. The AFC East, the one thing you can say about it is for every week being astounded at how bad the coaching is in this league, the AFC East has three good coaches. Like, they, three
and Belichick.
Really, well, yeah, and Belichick.
Who's on the decline. Rich is willing to write Belichick off. I just say he's in a decline. But
it's true.
I mean, you have the top three, and I'll throw Belichick in there, too.
But there are rumors, and this might be my favorite coaching rumor of them all, and it was from a boomer, Esiason, who came out and said that he had heard that Bill Cowher was interested in the New York Jets job. I mean, just
because
think about
he
that.
Is.
Well, you see, he came out and denied it yesterday, and obviously a good negotiating technique.
No, and he's not even negotiating. It's Captain...
someone has the job, and I don't want to be the guy, you know, that job's already taken.
No, believe me, he told Boomer, and he told Boomer to go on the air with it.
Yeah.
And
like over lunch before the broadcast
on
Sunday.
I mean, you know how Boomer doesn't throw that stuff out
there. No, Boomer's like, all conservative. He didn't want to say dildo on the air. So, I mean, Boomer went on that air with the two of them in cahoots about it. And, listen, if Cowher wants it or not, I don't know. But he certainly has at least shown interest in it. There's no question at all about that. Unless, Will, I'm reading this completely wrong.
And is he the right guy? That's the other thing, too. Let's say Cowher does want to do it. I mean, obviously, we know who he is. We know what he's been. But, you know, there's that whole school of thought where you want to bring in somebody like, I mean, you know, but what's his name?
Bienema.
Yeah. It's somebody who's younger, who can connect with, you know, the youth of today. And, you know, there's all sorts of schools of thought. But this is Bill Cowher we're talking about.
CEO type, which is what the Jets need.
It's true. I mean, it's true. Right? It seems like it'd be a no-brainer. Do they do that?
First of all, I'm not getting myself in hot water over this conversation, but I will add a couple things to it.
Second, that's right. You work for CBS. That's right.
Yeah. If I come on here like Flame, Cowher, and Boomer, I'm going to get a call this afternoon. I'm not trying to do that. I got enough going on.
So let's call him Rumor and
Power. I'll ask you this. Has Boomer ever given you a big candle for Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
Got a candle from Boomer for Christmas. If I were going to predict how this what played out, obviously Bill and Boomer spent time together during on the weekend. So I mean, I'm sure they're talking about it. I do not think that Boomer would. I haven't heard the clip. I don't know exactly what he said. I would guess that he was probably joking about it, like that he wasn't actually reporting that Bill Cowher wanted the Jets job because one. Apparently, Bill Cowher's significant other is a Jets fan.
His wife is a Jets fan. He had early interest in the job a few years ago before they went with Rex Ryan.
It is hard to believe that Bill Cowher would walk away from his current situation to coach the Jets. Now, maybe if he just had the inkling to come back, that's a different story. I think he would be. I think he'd be a great hire because he's a stud coach and. You know, I'm always a little hesitant about coaches coming out of retirement and to see how they do. But I think Gruden's been a lot better than people expected. Sure. Mack Brown at Carolina killed it. I mean, Joe Gibbs has had success doing it. So I mean, you know, maybe that time off, that the rejuvenation, resetting your body. I mean, you know, everybody could use some of that at some point, and maybe that resetting your mind and all that, maybe that helps. So yeah, I mean, I think he'd be a great hire. If I were Bill Cowher, I wouldn't take the Jets job. I think I don't care. I mean, even if they get Trevor Lawrence, and it looks likely that they will, I mean, until ownership quits screwing around and being terrible, can you really trust them? Now, if Joe Douglas is in place, I think we consider him a good GM. But I would need if I were Bill Cowher and I were going to leave the NFL today, which is a very cushy job. And I mean, like he's good on it, but I mean, like you're not working 7 days a week, doing a professional.
Yeah, it's
broadcast.
Easy, right? You don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, like,
but
the head coaching, it's easy. I would want major assurances about control over what was happening within the organization. But maybe
think of it this way. Gruden was able to get $100 million reportedly, 10 years, $10 million a year. If that's what
he runs the Raiders. Yeah.
Sure. So what do you think they're going to offer Cowher to come back and do this?
If I'm Bill Cowher and the Jets offer me $100 million over 10 years and, you know, choice of, you know, my, I get to choose the GM. I have full autonomy over all football matters. I get to hire a president, you know, VP of football ops. You know, Woody and Christopher go sit in their little Band-Aid box and, you know, like the baby wash box or whatever it is that they've got, and just watch and don't say anything. And then I'm definitely interested because that's $100 million. And you'd have the bonus of maybe, like, you know, being the guy who changed around your wife's team. Like, that, I think that would certainly be appealing. Like, hey, look,
was Cowher the GM in Pittsburgh?
No. But he had full roster control.
Right. But there, I don't think they want to get rid of Joe Douglas. And I don't think that he would demand that.
I'm not saying he's like, I'm the GM and I have full autonomy. I'm saying he gets a full autonomy to pick his GM to decide whether or not. Because, like, I'm not coming in. And I think he would actually keep Joe Douglas because Joe Douglas is a football guy and probably along the same lines as Bill Cowher. But if I'm leaving that job for the Jets job, I'm not doing it as Bill Walsh would, you know, excuse me, Bill Parcells would say, to cook with somebody else's groceries.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to let somebody else have full control over the roster and make the pit. You know, you want it to be collaborative. You want it to be built in a way that is. Right. That, you know, it sets you up for success.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, I think the Jets' job is probably the most attractive out of all of them right now. If they because of all the picks they have and all the cap room they have, and basically a blank slate, I'd want to follow the guy that went 0-15 or 0-16. I guess I'd want to follow the guy in San Diego or in L.A. too. But that's a franchise that is a dump. But
I mean, I would certainly rather have the Jets job than the Texans job.
No. You can't. They're not going to be able to get anyone to take that job.
I like that San Diego job.
No, but I don't want to be in. I don't want to be in that L.A. I don't want to be in L.A. though. That's a bad franchise. It's a bad. I mean, at least the Jets are going to be there.
Ooh, but you got a quarterback though.
And I got a quarterback with Lawrence. The Jets. I'd rather have Lawrence than Herbert. Believe
absolutely.
Me. Yeah, absolutely. There's no joke.
So I think. Herbert looks like he's a stud, but I mean. I think a substantial number of GMs are taking Lawrence over Herbert.
Right. And, you know, L.A.'s got a roster, but they're also going to have to pay some guys coming up. And
the Chargers are just cursed, man. They can't. You go back to these. It's like, why can't this crappy franchise turn it around? And look at what's happening in Washington right now. You know, Ron Rivera took over, and, you know, part of the takeover was like, look, Dan Snyder. Go away.
Yep.
And we're going to change who's in charge of this organization because the culture you've created is absolutely disastrous and toxic. And that's what the problem is with the Chargers and the Jets, in my opinion, is that they have ownership that is either unwilling to invest in the resources necessary to fix the culture, or they are part of the pervasive culture. Same thing with the Browns.
What the Jets did wrong is they've hired terrible GMs and gave them too much autonomy, and they've made terrible moves.
And then they hire a head coach, and then they fire the head coach, then they hire a new head coach, and then they fire the GM. And so, like, they don't understand.
Right.
Get these guys on the same page. It's not that hard.
Exactly, yeah. Don't fire the GM after the draft, and don't fire the GM when you've brought in a head coach. It's just ridiculous. All right.
Anyway, we got to go. I was going to say the last three GMs. What is it? Idzik, Maccagnan. Joe Douglas has been good, but who was before?
I think that was the tail end of Tannenbaum.
Yeah, sorry, it was Tannenbaum. Sounds right. The tail end of Tannenbaum was.
All right. I didn't hang up on him. Yeah, we lost him. I didn't hang up on him. We lost him, though. All right. Will Brintz, by the way, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com. Tell him I didn't hang up on him. Call him back and tell him I didn't hang up on him. And Pick Six podcast. So go ahead and enjoy that. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's a really good idea to be really active on Twitter. That is a one-way ticket to riches. There's no downside.
It's Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Rock it, rock and roll. Run, run, Rudolph. You're going to be the guy. You're the run, run, Rudolph. Run, run, Rudolph. I like old things, and I'm dead. I only get excited when I see stuff from the 50s. I got a big boil on my face. I was in Ogwin. I drank a lot of LSD when I was in Ogwin. And they kicked me out of the back because I was on hard drugs. Now I'm in one, and I never saw my son. And I don't run out, and I'm running around.
All right. I just love Lemmy because every time he talks, it sounds like he's asking a question.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Double Decker Taco Supreme.
He likes the 50s. By the way, going back and watching the Lemmy documentary, it's sort of sad.
Oh yeah, I mean he's a weird dude, and you know what? I almost don't want to learn too much more that I already know about him because I'm afraid there's going to be some weird stuff.
My Nazi stuff?
Yeah, it's going to make me feel really guilty about liking him.
Well, you like all my Nazi stuff?
It's weird that he collects all of that questionable memorabilia.
I got an album that's got a leather cover with an Iron Cross on it.
Mm-hmm. The alcoholism and the drug abuse left Lemmy not so great. Had a lot of problems.
Did you ever get to see him in concert? Did you ever get to see Motorhead?
No, they played in Shacks at Winnebago's in my concert-going days.
They played at the House of Blues one time.
Yeah. I didn't want to see the resurrection when people started liking Motorhead again.
Dude, they were great.
I'm sure they were.
I saw him like a year before he died, and they killed.
I'm
live.
Sure they did. They're very loud. But like when I was growing up, they played like the Magic Bag in Royal Oak. They played like real dumps. They were kind of like the Ramones at the end. At the end, people started pretending to like them. But like when the Ramones, when I was a kid, they played like Horrible Places. And I never saw him. I wish I did.
Well, with Motorhead, there was one time I saw him. I felt kind of bad because they were on Ozfest.
Yeah.
But they had put them as the opener on the Ozfest stage this year. And I'm like, Motorhead's like legends. There's no way they should be anything. Like, so they go on stage, and Papa immediately Roach. After them was Cold Chamber. I'm like, you got a worse slot than
album sales.
Cold Chamber?
Albums, I bet you Cold Chamber in their career sold more records than Motorhead.
Oh, stop. No, they didn't. No, Cold Chamber was on Roadrunner.
It might be a lot closer than you think.
No. Because Motorhead's greatest hits, and I mean, just Ace of Spades in itself, you know, even if you're not a metal fan, you know that song. Mm-hmm. You can't name a Cold Chamber. I could probably go to 100 people on the street and ask them what's a Cold Chamber song, and no one could tell you.
I'm one,
even
too.
Even though Loco is what your answer should be. Loco, Loco. They had an ice cream truck on the cover because it's creepy.
Okay. I take it back. Motorhead has sold more than 15 million albums. So
oh yeah, they're legends.
Well, they never made any money
for so long.
Well, no, but it was failure after failure after failure for them for a long time. I mean, Lemmy, that's the whole narrative of it. They didn't sell well.
Well, definitely the people they inspired became much wealthier than they were. I mean, there would be no Metallica if it wasn't for Motorhead.
Yeah,
no
exactly.
Question.
Ask the Descendants about that. Every time Tom DeLonge looks for an alien, that's Descendants money. Dave, go ahead.
Hey, Fred. I just wanted to know if you've ever seen the legendary band from outer space, GWAR.
I know Rich has. I have hung out with guys from GWAR, but I have not. It's kind of like I broadcasted from shows twice a week, I would remember GWAR. I didn't see them, but I've been places where they were. I never saw Primus, even though one of my best friends has a Primus tattoo.
I've seen Primus probably, I'm not kidding, I've probably seen him at least 15 times.
Did they play any of those festivals?
Oh, yeah. Primus headlined Lollapalooza 3, which was
Who was on that?
Unbelievable lineup. Oh, that lineup was great. It was started with Rage Against the Machine, and then it was Tool, and then it was Front 242, and then Alice in Chains was the second to last band, Fishbone, and Primus.
And there were some other...
Oh, dude. Was that the year that Luscious Jackson played, or was that the
fourth Luscious
one?
Jackson was the Beastie Boys and...
Green Day, Smashing Pumpkins one. Yes.
Where I left after the Beastie Boys.
No. Three might be, in my opinion, just as like a metalhead, that was the strongest lineup that they had. Beastie Boys and Smashing Pumpkins and Green Day was fantastic, too, the fourth one. Everyone talks about the second one with the Chili Peppers, but I prefer the later years. Later years!
I saw the Chili Peppers when they played a private show, and my wife hung out with the band, and the next day broke up with me while we were dating.
They broke up with you after that show at the International Ballroom? Or whatever that place was, and nowhere, that cruddy place.
Yeah, she broke up with me after that show. And then right when I was hitting my stride she came back. Right when I was hitting my stride, and then I went, all right.
Primus is a band that has about three songs that kill, and then like the rest of it's just kind of cool.
I really like Les Claypool's side projects. They're really good.
Oysterhead?
Or the Sausage Guy?
Sausage? I saw... Who did I see Sausage open for? Sausage with the Rollins Band or something?
Oh, that's a real night of entertainment there.
The Rollins Band's the best because he gets up on stage and like he comes out and he's all got his shirt off and his tattoos. He's all angry and you know him from Black Flag. You're like, hell yeah. And you're like, he goes, oh no, here it comes. Oh boy. And then the music kicks in. It's like, dare, 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 dare. It's like the weakest
influence.
Music.
Jazz influence. Yeah,
it's so weak.
Rollins is far too earnest and far too little talent to be trying to pull off going to see him live. I mean, listen, the guy's lived an amazing life. I feel bad for him. I mean, he's just at home doing... Every time he has a negative thought, he just does a million pull-ups, and I'm not lying. That's how he handles his life. But, he's not talented enough to... have me go see him. He was terrible. By the way, Black Flag with him were horrible.
I disagree. I liked it with him. I like Black Flag, period.
Stevenson had to leave the band. He didn't like it anymore.
Rollins. Yeah, it was Sausage, Rollins, and Helmet was the headliner, and Helmet destroyed all those. Just destroyed the place that night.
Yeah, but that's like you're going to see... Chappelle, and you have Dave Coulier opening up. There's no way to work the audience.
No. Maybe just make them angry. That was Helmet's kind of whole thing. Let's just piss these guys off.
Well, I'll tell you, if you look at the Helmet videos now, it's just you could tell they didn't like making them. I just watched a video of theirs the other day. It came up on Facebook.
There's only a couple. They didn't make many.
It was
videos.
One for later in the day, later in the career. It was on a soundtrack. It was on a soundtrack. I can't remember.
Oh, Milktoast? Oh, from the Crow soundtrack. Yes, oh, that's a great song.
Yeah, but they don't look like they want to be there in the video.
Well, they never really looked like they wanted to be there. All very laid back, very chill.
I wouldn't like him too much. We tried our best to get him on for your 40th birthday, and he gave us the old shineroo. Jordan, go ahead.
I was wondering if I could get some advice from Fred on how to approach women at the bar. So... I'm a young single guy. I'm living in Delray Beach, Florida. You know, all the bars are open. There's a lot of beautiful women down here. And sometimes, I get the number. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes it goes well. But, do you think it's bad? Is it bad to, approach a girl that you've never met at the bar? You know what I mean?
No. How are people supposed to meet each other? Of course, that's not bad. I'll give you, first of all, magic is the way to go. Sleight of hand. No.
That's what mystery says, yes.
Exactly. Wear a funny floppy hat. Mm-hmm. Here is the way to pick up a girl. And I'm being dead serious. Is there a Delray newspaper?
Oh, yeah, there is.
Okay, what's it called?
It's called, the Delray Dudes.
Okay, say it's called the Delray Dudes. You go to the girl and go, I'm sorry, but, I was just over here reading the Delray Dudes, and did you just blow a perfect game last night? And then you go into that, and then she laughs, and she goes, I could swear it was you. 300? Don't be modest. You did it. Can you sign my paper for me? And then she'll go, ah, ha, ha. And then you'll go, oh, my dear. And then go, you're ugly. And then you negged her.
My approach is sort of I kind of keep it simple. I'll be like, hello, where are you from? I kind of ask basic questions. I'll be like, or what do you do for fun? But sometimes they'll be like, I feel like I'm being interviewed. I don't know.
No, you have to go in and you have to say, like,
something
wait,
funny.
Go, wait a second. I recognize you. Did you spin plates at halftime of a Miami Heat game last year?
Are you
things
Red
of
Panda?
That nature. Exactly. Things of that nature. No, and then say, like, she's blonde and blue eyes. Go, no, you're the Asian woman from that was spinning the plates.
That's right.
At the Heat game. I noticed you, the great Elvira. Yes, that's you. Don't listen, I know you don't want to draw a crowd, but that's you. And then here she is. She's laughing, and you've taken her off her guard. And then you go, what are you laughing at? Ooh, I'd close your mouth with those teeth, ugly. And then she goes, ah, and then you go, ah, I'm just playing.
What about what is Rich's approach? Like, does Rich have other types?
My game is off the charts. My approach is, hi, want to go to prom and then not have to worry about it the rest of my life.
Right. So settle into.
I was wondering, Rich, you're a musician, right? You play guitar?
Kind of. Yeah, not as much anymore, but I used to be, yes.
Okay. I play guitar too, but I was sometimes I'm like, maybe if I could get them to know I play guitar, that might help. But I don't know if I
That is one-way ticket to Doucheville. You can't ever mention that. If they find out that about you, don't ever mention to become a guitarist, because immediately you're Hesher guy.
And plus, I've tried it. I've tried like faking that it was me playing guitar, and even if it is you, and like going like, hey, I just thought you might want to hear this and play it, and the girl the whole time is revolted.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I think I'm pretty good, but like you're right. Don't let them find out. Don't tell them.
Yes,
that's way better. Way better.
And wear a nice watch.
Mm-hmm.
Wear a nice watch.
Also, like maybe I need to change up my clothing because like I street skateboard for fun, so like I wear like skater clothes.
It doesn't,
so, like,
that maybe doesn't matter.
That's fine.
Doesn't
that's
matter.
Not, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Wear a nice watch.
That.
If you have a very nice watch and you dress down, then the girl's like, what's going on? But you have a Rolex on, and she goes, ooh, my, my. So get a Rolex. Okay. That's my advice. Take all your money and put it into a Rolex. There you go. And there you have it. So you've dazzled them with your watch, but you're dressed like crap. So they're like, well, this guy must have a ton of money because he doesn't even have to dress up.
That plus the humor and the personality.
Because if you're skateboarding, there's no way you're captain like designer jeans and a blue like jacket guy,
which is
like what everyone who's on their second marriage that's hot is on Facebook with some guy like with like those awful looking really expensive jeans that are just the worst, and they're sitting there with those on in like a jacket, like a sport coat. And you're like, I could never pull that off. I could never be like, I could never go to Abe and Louie's and like be like the guy in like a sport coat and like designer jeans.
If you want to get a chick, though, Fred, you know, if this guy wants to get a chick, there's only one thing he needs to buy, and that's a Big Johnson T-shirt, because everyone knows that if you wear one, it obviously means you have what? Big Johnson.
Yeah. Just go like, I have a big penis. And shave your arms. Girls really like that. Especially if you have tattoos, shave your arms. And then the girls all go, ooh, you shaved your arms. I'm not lying to you. Mm-hmm. That's a true thing.
Sport coat at Abe and Louie's. You're a magnet. Trust me.
That's your old stomping grounds, isn't it, John?
I mean, because I've thought about it. I mean, I've obviously had times recently where I was thinking, I wonder if I was single now, how that would work. And I've thought, I could never be the guy in the sport jacket at Abe and Louie's.
There's a playbook to go to Abe and Louie's. There is.
I wonder if you dressed down, though, and you were, you know, it was obvious you belonged there, but you had on a watch or something that showed that indeed you had money.
Right.
If maybe that would be intriguing to a lass. Who knows? You got to be funny. You got to be funny. And mean. No, I'm just kidding. About the mean part.
Well, that's what mystery says. You got to neg him. You got to say something negative about him.
I know. Mm. You wear a floppy hat. Lots of rings.
And buttons that light up. Now, I'm not making this up. That's literally what he said
and
to do.
And scarves. Dress like Johnny Depp in the cologne commercial.
Sauvage.
Yeah. Pull necklaces out of the dirt. All right, Rich, what's coming up to the old Stackarooski?
One of Lamar Jackson's own teammates thinks he had the runs. We got the biggest shows of 2020, and even Tom Brady is starting tonight.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Enjoy Jim Gray.
All right, so that's hard to believe. Here are the headlines.
Want to make a good morning even better?
Oh!
Now, you can listen to Toucher and Rich on the Radio.com app.
You are locked in to the show.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
985, the Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich. John, who I just found out isn't in tomorrow.
No, not in tomorrow.
They don't want to overwork him.
Apparently not.
Well, nice well, listen, they're going to put you on at night doing a preseason game instead of the number one morning show, but okay. Whatever floats everyone's boat.
I guess I'm needed elsewhere.
Who's in for you tomorrow?
Joe. It's got to be Joe.
Okay, Joe, which is great, okay. but it's funny that, and listen, John wants this, and I don't want to take it from him. But if you were thinking rationally, you'd say...
You go where the people are going to be listening.
Probably about 30 yeah. times as many people listening.
Oh, no. People care about this game, Fred. I don't know where you're... Get your head out of your ass.
I think the priorities are... Just,
COVID.
Nobody really cares.
COVID. December. It gets dark at 3.
Yeah.
Preseason game. Or the morning show.
Okay. I'm excited about this preseason game. I want to see what Neesmith looks like. Yeah. I want to see Pritchard out there doing his
plenty to talk about tomorrow. All right, John, who brings you the stack?
The Window Nation, Fred. It's their buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out at windownation.com.
You get to see the 76ers before James Harden's on the team. That's going to be interesting
and
to see.
And blows the thing to smithereens.
Listen, they can't be any worse than they are right now.
Real quick, before we get to the stack, you know what Houston wants for James Harden from
Ben
Philadelphia?
Simmons,
and 3 first round picks.
Well, then no.
Come on.
That's the asking price, apparently.
Well, when did that change? Because originally it was just Ben Simmons.
I read it this morning in the Philadelphia Inquirer. That's what they're asking for.
The thing is if you're Philly, you can't give up those picks because then if you have to make an addition somewhere else, you can't give anything up. I mean, so you have no collateral. So it's not even the players that they'd get in return for the first round picks. It's just, you have nothing to trade at that point.
Does this feel like this might turn out almost the way Anthony Davis's last days in New Orleans was? Like, almost that you might think something big is going to happen at the trade deadline, but no one's going to make a deal that big, and they're just going to wait until the offseason.
And then Houston will sit him down for like 2 months?
Yep. Yes. I just got a weird feeling that's kind of where we're headed with this.
Yeah.
Because they haven't made the deal by now. Who knows what the hell they're going to do? And I guess that he's saying he's going to play along and be nice, even though he wants to leave badly.
Yes.
I mean, he's made that. There's been no mixed message to ownership, and the coach obviously knows he's got a guy who didn't want him there playing for him at this point. So if you missed the game last night, it was actually a great game. But the major turning point was when in the third quarter, Lamar Jackson left the field. And at first, I was like, what the hell is going on? But then there was a video of him running down the hallway to the locker room. It was announced he had cramps, but that was I gotta go to the bathroom walk. If we've ever seen it before, the little running duck walk, someone got in his way, he's like, move, 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 move. And afterwards, he made a comment saying that this was not a Paul Pierce, I pooped myself situation.
I was cramping. I ain't putting a Paul Pierce. I didn't put a Paul Pierce. I was cramping.
However, there are some people on his own team who are calling him out in the whole Poopgate scandal. Robert Griffin III, who's on the IR right now, but nonetheless tweeted out a picture of, do you remember when DK Metcalf, there was an interception that the Cardinals had, and that guy from the Cardinals ran it almost all the way downfield, and DK Metcalf came out of nowhere to tackle the guy right before he ended up getting in, before the end zone? Well, it's got the dude from the Cardinals, and it says Browns lead on him, and then DK Metcalf, it says Lamar after pooping, chasing him down. So it sounds like even his own teammates know that he had a little bit of the runs.
There's no mystery. I mean, it is what it is.
When you saw that video, you knew.
It's like far court. I mean, it's signed, sealed, and delivered. It's the Electoral College. It's over.
There's no question.
Yeah, your hands are tied at this point.
Well, what might also be over is the relationship between, best buddies, Mr. Tom Brady and Jim Gray. Who would have thought?
Oh, boy.
Maybe we're starting to see a little, cracks in the armor here of their just amazing relationship. This is during his very exciting Westwood One interview that he does every week with Mr. Jim Gray. And apparently Brady just kind of seems tired of it all.
You know, usually when you miss something, it's either the timing or the mechanics are off, one or the other. And I try to get a few throws on the sideline to get the feel right, and then go back out there and make the throws. I try to go back out there. Sorry about that. It's been a long day. I didn't sleep much last night.
But
I
put you to sleep with this interview. You were hydrating last week. Now you're yawning.
Sometimes you do that to me. It is late Monday. It is late Monday night, man. I don't sleep much after the game, so I'm in a better place. I will be as we keep plowing ahead.
Yeah, none of this is interesting to me. Just give me my stupid paycheck for mid-season. Let's be done with it.
You know, that's killing me inside. Tom, where's the magic gone?
You know he didn't like that at all.
No. You and I could go to a dude ranch or something and liven things up, city slicker style.
That would be nice.
Well, you're my Bruno Kirby.
Bruno Kirby and Daniel Stern, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right.
Yeah. I liked that first movie.
Yeah, Stern, they didn't make him pathetic enough. They didn't seal, like, wow, you're divorced, eh? Well, let's really make you pathetic. Okay, great. It's got to be fun if you're, like, newly divorced and you go see City Slickers. She's like, wait a second. Isn't it how it's supposed to be? This guy's not having any fun.
He cheated with the voice of Bart Simpson. I believe that was Yeardley Smith.
How about that? For the Legend of Billie Jean, the only other place she's been found.
I think you're right. And Entertainment Weekly came out with their best television shows of 2020. And their two writers both agreed at number one, which is very rare, Better Call Saul. Better Call Saul this year was unbelievable. But it seemed like it came out a million years ago.
Yeah, but they got a lot of people by accident when they said Saul's a man with a plan, and people thought they were tuning in to see Matt LeBlanc. Instead, they stupid Better Call Saul. Yeah.
But they also put in their three worst of the year, and I couldn't agree more with two of them. Number three was Westworld, which just went. It started off the first season with such promise, and then just became. And they even got Aaron Paul to try to spice it up, and it just was nonsense. Number two was one that is a sin that it wasn't even accidentally funny, and that is Space Force, which of course was made by the people who did The Office. You got good old Michael Scott back to do that, to star in it. And you got a bunch of other big comedy stars, some people from Silicon Valley, the TV show, and it just was awful. And number one,
is the woke kid from the comedian that's woke that did the movie with his wife, is he on it? Because his Twitter's great.
Who are you talking about?
The guy from Silicon Valley. He wrote the movie about the sickness or whatever it was called.
Khalil Manjun.
Yes.
The one who's all jacked now.
He's so woke. I love his Twitter. I like how he says guys before he makes some stupid command.
One of the new Marvel movies as like a dude who's totally jacked.
Captain Woke.
A ton of muscles.
Captain Woke. He's one of these celebrities that's like, guys, we can do it. Shut up. We can do it. Go to hell.
You unfunny bastard.
You're lucky that you did the real crazy guy, TJ Miller, who doesn't do anything anyone says. He was the guy that carried that show. That last season stunk.
Oh, I disagree. Well, I think that all of them were great on that show. Even him. I thought he was hysterical on that show.
I mean, he was great because he played off of Martin Short. I'm not even dismissing him on that show. I thought he was good, but I mean, he's too woke, if you ask me. It's just too easy. It's like, I was talking to a friend of mine about this, and then we'll break almost immediately, is that, like, I suppose if you grew up in, like if you were, like, you know, 25 when you or younger when you first started working in Hollywood, and then you've had success, just the people you're around and stuff, you have to become, like, a insufferable woke dude. I just think it's just probably the way it is. But guys, can we all just shut up, guys? Guys,
I don't even know what you're referencing. I'm not.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I'm referencing. That's the point. I'm not referencing anything on purpose. It's just, oh boy, there's the playoff picture, and they've taken the Patriots out of it.
Not listening.
I know,
no,
Dan.
No, they're not getting the charity graphic anymore.
No. All right, cool. That'll do it for us. Dan's freaking out. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.